Well, there's none of us here today that is a stranger to a vine. This province is becoming well known for vineyards, and maybe you even have a vine in your own garden. And in the Mediterranean world, in the Bible world, of course, the vineyard was a common scene. And when the Lord Jesus used this analogy, "I am the true vine," well, everybody knew exactly what he was alluding to. And of course, vines is as old as Noah. We read that immediately after the flood was over, Noah came out of that ark and he planted a vineyard. And so it's a very old industry, and it's very, very common. And so much can be learned from this analogy which the Lord Jesus used when he said, "I am the true vine." Now, by way of introduction, I want to give you an acrostic. This is not the sermon, it's only the introduction, and just give you a few thoughts. One is vitality, V for vitality. And of course, that's the tremendous foliage that a vine produces. It has to be cut away continually. It has to be kept into shape continually because it grows so profusely. And of course, it will produce such an abundance of grapes. That's the life of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is, "I am the true vine." And just as the vine produces so much, my ministry, my grace, will produce so many believers. Think of all the Christians that have been born again by the grace and the supply of the Lord Jesus. His ministry is certainly one of vitality. The other, what is really a continual miracle of the vine, is the inward life. And through that little stalk, growing up through those twisting, gnarling branches, is that amazing inner life flowing to every branch. And in the Lord Jesus, there is an inner life. There is a life of grace, a life of the Spirit that flows to every believer and produces fruit in us. So it is Christ's life flowing into our lives, and the fruit is ours, and it's all for the Father's glory. That is a wonderful analogy that the Lord is using. And as if you're a Christian today, you're going to have the Lord's life flowing through your life. You're going to have His grace in your heart, your faith in your soul, and it will bring forth new kind of life. It will bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. So N of the vine, well, we'll make that nourishment. And you think of that one little stalk in the ground, and the roots are ever so shallow, and that little spindly-looking wood that grows up, supplying all of this, and yet amazing amount of nourishment to every one of those grapes that are growing. And the bunches and bunches of grapes are all nourished from the one stalk. The Lord Jesus is the one that supplies the need of our souls. And again, we have to make this personal. Christianity is not a thing. Christianity is not an organization. Christianity is not an institution. Christianity is the Lord Jesus. And to be a Christian is to be like a branch united to the vine, to the Lord Jesus. And you are being nourished. You're kept by the power of God through faith. And this is the ongoing ministry of grace to your heart as the Lord nourishes your own heart. And then the E of the vine, well, we're going to call that effusion of life supply. And the amount of fruit is wonderful. The amount of fruit. And herein is our Father glorified, whenever you and I bring forth real, godly, Christian fruit. And the amount of it is just wonderful. And when you are saved, when you are united to the Lord Jesus, there is no end to the supply and to the grace that is all sufficient in your life. It's sufficient to grow. It is sufficient to mature. It is sufficient to bear burdens. It is sufficient in sickness. It is sufficient in bereavement. It is sufficient even when we face the hour of death ourselves. This supply will never fail because we're kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed unto the last time. And that is the work of the Lord Jesus in your heart. Now, so much for this great analogy. What we want to do here is to come to the words of the Lord Jesus. And you know my approach in these I Ams. I want to get to the words. I want to get to the exact statement of the Lord Jesus and ask, now, why did the Lord say that? He says, I am the true vine. And here is the need to identify the true vine. Because in saying that, there are the false. There are the phony. There are those that pretend, but they don't bring forth the right fruit. And the Lord Jesus warned in his ministry that in this world there will be many false Christs, and they will claim many things. Do not follow them. Do not join yourself to them. And just as there are different kinds of vines, and we know there are those that produce green grapes, red grapes, black grapes, sour grapes. My, if you go to the store and come home and you plant a sour grape and you wait a whole year for the fruit to come and turn out, it's bitter. What disappointment. And you can see the picture of the Lord Jesus saying, don't join yourself to a false Christ, to the wrong vine, and you end up producing the wrong fruit. The fruit that will not save, the fruit that will only damage you and make you bitter and a rebel to God rather than reconciled by the very grace of the gospel. Now, this true vine is known by the fruit that it bears. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, who does this? The husbandman. The Father. My Father is the husbandman. And God ensures, he inspects the fruit. Think of that. He inspects the fruit. He takes away the dead wood. And where there is genuine fruit, he purges, he cleanses. Or you might say, he trims. Ah, that's hard on us, isn't it? We don't like the pruning shears in our lives. And yet we see that it is the necessary work of God to bring us into shape and that we bear more fruit. It's all about fruit. It's not about us. And that's where we get into trouble bearing the pain of Christian discipleship because we think it's about us. When you look at a vine, the wood itself is, well, it's rather nasty looking. And especially in the winter when there's no foliage on there, you can say, what a mess. It's horrible. And as you look at us, what do you see? You see just the gnarled wood. You see us in our raw state, nothing very beautiful. But it is in the act of bearing fruit that makes us to glorify our Heavenly Father. So it's not about us. It's about bearing acceptable fruit to the Father. And what is this fruit? It is the fruit of godliness and holiness. It's it's grace operating, working in us the likeness of the Lord Jesus. And as we bring forth that fruit, there is beauty. There is now a life pleasing unto God. Now the branches in this true vine, as I say, are known by their fruitfulness. Look at verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. There is a process here, and there's a difficulty in understanding what's going on. Is this about trimming off, cutting off, Or does this word clean talk about actually wiping the leaves from the filth, the dust, the dirt of the day, and keeping them clean? Probably both. Probably both. We know that in a vine, when things get unshapely and branches are going in all directions, they have to be cut into shape. But then there's times when things get dusty and dry and dirty that they have to be cleansed. And I'm sure that rain yesterday did its work in cleansing and purifying. And those things are necessary. And the Lord says to us, now are ye clean through the word. And here is the purifying, the cleansing of our hearts. How does it happen? It happens by the word of God. That word that has a two-edged sword, that has a cutting edge, and has an edge that ministers to our hearts. And if you let that word work in you, then you will be clean, you will be pure, and you will be ready to bring forth that fruit in your life. Now, the application is very evident then. If we are a people who are drawn to the true vine, we will be a congregation of people delighting in the word. That's the first thing. We're going to delight in his word, and we're going to delight in his commandments. John 15, the word commandments comes up a few times. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the things that the Lord says to us, we want to hear them. We want to do them. We want to be a people that are seeking to fulfill the mandate of the Christian life, doing the will of the Lord. That's the kind of church we're going to be. And if we are a people joined to the true vine, not the wrong vine, the false vine, but the true vine, we'll be a people who love the word, and our hearts will delight in it. There will also be humility versus pride. I see in these little weak branches, some of them ever so slender and spindly, absolute dependence upon the vine. It's not a life of bragging and boasting. It's not a life of parading our own powers. The Christian life is a life of submission to the Lord, depending on his grace, yielding ourselves more and more to him, and drawing our everything from the Lord. Where else does the branch get its life, its support? Where else can it, by what other means can it supply and bring forth fruit? Only by total dependence on the vine. These lessons are here for us. And if we are joined to the true vine, there will be that spirit in us. We will be that people who have learned submission to the Lord. And our testimony will be by his grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. And our lives will tell that story. There'll be a servant spirit, not selfishness. If you look at the branch and a vine, everyone is clinging and cleaving, and everyone is doing its part in bearing fruit on that vine. There will also be joy in godly things. If you look at verse 11, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. These things have I spoken unto you, the things about his word, the things about his commandments, abiding, trusting, laying hold on him. They all lead to joy. They all lead to a sense of privilege. This is my blessed state and condition. And it ministers to a happy heart. And it gives us contentment of soul. That's the people we will be if we are joined to the true vine. That's our experience. And that is our walk with the Lord. And I think that because the Lord Jesus mentioned it so much here in this chapter, it really comes to a life of prayerfulness. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. You will have to say that a branch in the true vine will know a ministry of prayer and will have a ministry of prayer. There will be freedom to ask. There will be yielding, submitting, depending, and that leads to prayer. Prayer is the expression of the dependent spirit. and the submissive attitude. By bowing the knee and calling on the Lord for His grace and supply, is saying, Lord, I am nothing. I can't do this. I'm weak and I'll shrivel up. I need to draw my strength, my daily supply from the heart of the Lord. And that will be your prayer ministry, your own devotional life. And it will grow, and not only in personal bearing, walking with the Lord, but service. You will realize if you're going to serve God, you need to depend on the Lord. Verse 5 is probably the key verse. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And the verse 4 before it, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. Now, have we learned that? I fear that too many of professing Christians have never learned the extent of their total dependence on the Lord. How would you measure that? How would you quantify the degree of dependence that a Christian has on the Lord? Well, it means just jumping into things without prayer. It means making decisions without prayer. Or the one who has learned the lesson, and maybe by experience and failure and folly, has come to realize, if I do this myself, it'll fail. I've tried so often, it'll come to nothing. I need to lean on the Lord. And so what do? We ask, we pray, we take it to the Lord in prayer. And this now becomes our prayer life, this attitude of dependence, this sense, I'm a failure. I will never accomplish anything in my own strength, because the Lord said it, without me, ye can do nothing. And so I go to pray, and I call on the Lord that His favor and blessing will be upon my service, my deeds, my walk, and that drives us to our knees. And you will become a man or woman of prayer. And I'm afraid many of us, because we learn the hard way through failure, we learn the barrenness, the emptiness of the vine, and then we have to plead with the Lord for a fresh supply. Are you doing that? Are you growing in that understanding? And are you putting that into practice? It will mean a personal prayer life for you. It will mean that there is a growing emphasis on prayer in your life. And I emphasize growing. Things don't happen overnight. You learn to pray little by little. Just as little children learn to walk and talk, we learn to pray and ask. And as we're growing in Christ, we become more and more like a branch in the vine. We have a prayer life. So how would you determine if a church has that sense of dependence? Well, I would like to visit the prayer meeting, and I would like to hear God's people pray. If there's no prayer meeting, well, how could we say that's a church that has learned the lesson of dependence, calling on the Lord? If they just run into ministry without prayer, how can God bless it? They're not like a branch leaning on the vine. We move now to verse 4. We need the power of the true vine dwelling in us. Jesus said it, abide in me and I in you. Now here is a twofold communion, abiding in me and I in you. And our responsibility is to abide in the Lord Jesus. That's our part. That's what we must do. That's how we must take it to the Lord. The other part is His promise. He will then come and dwell in us. And that's so beautifully illustrated in the union between the branch and the vine. The branch must grow out of the vine. And then the vine, in turn, supplies the life and all the needs of that little branch. And that this is the power of faith in the Lord Jesus. This is a great picture of the Christian's devotional life. Living in communion, clinging, depending on the Lord Jesus. It's a life of faith. It's a life of trusting. And we have to put it in this language because the analogy needs help here. How do I get to the place where I am like a branch actually joined to the vine, and the sap that is in that vine, the nutrition, the supply for my life comes out of the vine into me. How does it happen? Well, it happens by faith. It's the exercise of faith. Now, in the scheme of how the Lord ministered to his disciples, the thing we notice is that the Lord said these things after Judas went out. If you go back in chapter 13, verse 30, you will learn here that he, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. And as soon as Judas went out, the traitor, the betrayer, it's like the Lord now switched on his ministry of teaching the believing disciples. Verse 31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Chapter 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Here now is faith demanded. Then verse 16 of chapter 14, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You see how Judas went out first? He could not receive the Holy Spirit. He was that betrayer. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. See the keeping power of the Lord? See how he will have that constant ministry of grace? And those that are believing, looking to the Lord, he continues to minister to the heart. And here is the answer for the struggles of the Christian life. How shall I face the future? How shall I walk on? How shall I do God's will? The Lord ministers. His life is poured into your heart and into your life. And it's the power of abiding. Our task is to abide. If we do that, the Lord will do the rest. If we abide in him, he will minister to us, and he will bring out of our lives that godly fruit. Now, as I mentioned, fruit comes in so many forms. There's the red, the green, there's the white, or near white, and there's the bitter, the sour, and the Lord, he takes care of bringing forth godly fruit in our lives. He takes care of that. What are we to take care of? Abiding. We're just to abide. That's what we've got to do. Abide in the Lord. Keep trusting. Keep praying. Keep feeding on his word. Keep in a life and attitude of dependence. And we enjoy the ministry of the Spirit. And the Spirit flows in us to bring forth that new life. And that will be our delight. That will be our delight. Now, the third and final thing I want to mention here today is the mandate of the true vine. Honoring the Father. Honoring the Father. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. It's not about us. Indeed, the Lord Jesus was also the servant. He was the servant to the Father. And he came into this world to give his life as the vine, to bring much fruit to the glory of the Father. You'll see that in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And so this is not just a relationship with the Lord Jesus. It is about glorifying the Father. And these disciples were to produce fruit. So we're not only called to be faithful, but to be fruitful. And fruit is the mark of our Christian usefulness. Now, to produce fruit, how do you do it? How does a branch do it? What does a branch need to do to bring forth fruit? Abide in the vine. Stay joined to the vine. And let the life of the vine flow into its life, and it will grow and bring forth much fruit. Now the Lord said that he takes away the dead wood. The dead wood has to go. And we know that in any vine, once that dies out, then it has to be cut off, has to go, because it will never bear fruit. It's useless. And it has to go. And it's good for nothing but to be burned. The wood of a vine, you couldn't build anything with it. It's brittle. It's just for burning. And if you are not bearing fruit, what is your Christian profession about? If it's not bearing fruit, good for nothing. It has no usefulness. And here now becomes the purpose of the Christian life. And that's why we call the church to prayer, dependence, trusting, and becoming more and more men and women as branches joined to the vine, united to him. Sunday school teachers need to be joined to the vine. They need to be drawing their life from the Lord and bearing fruit through him. The preacher in the pulpit needs to be abiding in the Lord. There can be no fruit in the ministry from the pulpit if we're not abiding in the Lord. Congregation, do you pray? Are you abiding in the Lord? If your Sunday morning attendance is the only devotional time you have, the only thought for God you have, the only time when you sing his praises or read his word, then you could say, well, I spend an hour or an hour and a quarter abiding in the Lord. And there's about 167 other hours in the week. And what are you doing? The Lord says that we're to abide. Abide means remain. Stay joined to, stay in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And there's no telling the fruitfulness that will develop in your life. It will change you, and it will change the outcome and the usefulness of your own life. Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, wrote a little book on John 15. It's not great theology, but it's tremendous devotionally. And when the Lord took him to China, the Lord broke him, because he never felt so useless in all his time. He didn't know how he was ever going to accomplish anything in his missionary work to the Chinese people. They were unreceptive. His ministry had no fruit. And then he had this experience. I don't shy away from using the word experience. There are true experiences Christians have. And it was through John 15 and this analogy of the vine that Hudson Taylor learned the secret of ministry. And you know his life, how he accomplished much and saw many converted to Christ. But the Lord had to bring him to the point where he felt his need and his total, utter dependence upon the Lord. And he put himself in that posture as a branch in the vine, a Christian depending on the Lord Jesus. And God came in and blessed him. I'm not preaching just at you today, but I'm preaching to myself that if we are to be fruitful in this, yes, barren time in the land, we need to abide in the Lord. Don't abandon prayer, but let's stay more in prayer. Let's discipline our lives that we balance things to the point where we don't launch out without prayer. We don't step forward without calling on the Lord for his blessing and his help, that we learn that we, without him, we can do nothing. Now, my last thought, I want to bring it all together in this one point. And I would say if there's one lesson out of all of the details of this passage, and this passage is like a vine itself, it's got things going in all directions and you have to untangle it. If there's one thing that the Lord is saying to you and to me today in John 15, it is this: aim to abide in the Lord. We can't produce fruit. We can't do spiritual miracles, but we can abide in the Lord Jesus. We can. We can. It's the work of grace. We've got new hearts. We've got the Holy Spirit living in us. We've got minds that have the Word of God. And we can abide in the Lord Jesus. And as we do that, He abides in us. And He brings forth the fruit in our lives. That's the message. That's the word that I want you to take home. And if you're sitting around the lunch table and someone asks you, what was the sermon this morning? Don't do what I did earlier. Don't do what I did with a moment. But remember this, aim to abide. Aim to abide. Now, I don't always get it perfectly, but aim to abide. And as you abide more and more in the Lord, you will know His power and there will be fruit, real, godly, spiritual fruit. And before I close, I'm going to emphasize one thing again. It's not principles, it's not rules, it's not do's and don'ts, it's just abide in Christ. That's Christian living. That's victory. That's spiritual. That is the testimony as we see it here. He that abideth in me. That's the blessing. May the Lord give us grace to do that. And as a church, may as a people, may every one of us